What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. Got caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and B12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew it whenever I'm driving around showing houses, making phone calls to my clients, before a workout. Anytime I just feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I will pop a piece of NeuroGum. Usually gets me to where I need to be mentally. So if you're ever feeling like you're just mentally dragging a little bit, just pop a piece and it'll get you to where you need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our guy, Gabe, over at Captain Beard Co. They make unbelievable products for beard care. So they got beard balms, butters, and oils, just made with natural ingredients, anything for beard growth, beard health, anything like that. So if you're a guy with a beard and you're looking for some great products, check out Captain Beard Co. for those. They also have unbelievable smelling body wash. I love the mahogany teak wood. Smells really good. They've also just came out with shampoo and conditioner, and they make these amazing smelling candles. So guys, anything that smells good and it's made with all natural ingredients, you got to check it out. Use promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase. Check them out and give them a try.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, not much. Doing? I'm doing great. Doing
How are you
great.
Feeling after the fights.
Disappointed. It's been, Sunday I was really down in the dumps, not going to lie. You know, I was like a little sad panda walking around here all day. Gina was, she was like, you just need to snap the fuck out of it. And, made me realize that, it's not everything. You know, for those of you that don't know, I lost this past weekend. I had a match, it was supposed to be against, Sean Woodson, who's a featherweight fighter in the UFC, like top 15 fighter, but he pulled out on Thursday. So, this kind of scrambled and got me a new opponent, 2 days before the match. You know, I was going into the match with Sean with a pretty specific game plan. Kind of had to switch that up, at the day before essentially. So, I knew a little bit about this other guy, but not a ton. He definitely does some, more unconventional moves that I wasn't really prepared for. But I was proud of, how the match was going. I think I was proud of some of the things I did. I attempted to take him down. I ended up having to fall underneath him into guard, and I was able to sweep him and get up on top, pass his guard, passed him to side control. And then we landed kind of like right on the outside of the mat. So then they reset us. And then right as we, that's one of the problems with jiu-jitsu is the resets, man. Cause it's, you lose so much momentum when things are going well. And then all of a sudden the match stops. All right, let's move to the center of the mat. So you don't fall off the stage. And then, he just within seconds of us starting again, he put me in a weird like arm lock from the bottom of side control, which is definitely not something most people ever do. Normally, that bottom of side control position is pretty much just 100% defense. I mean, there's a couple offensive moves you can do from there, but usually most people are just playing defense there. And he kind of seems like he baited me into what he was wanting, which is kind of his move, which is where he gets into this like head and arm scarf hold position. And then like, he does like basically like an Americana with his legs. And yeah. And he got me in it real quick, and I had to tap or verbally tap. And and most people that were watching really didn't see what happened, because it happened so quick.
I was looking at the video. I got a video of it, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody got, and that was one of the reasons if you were at the thing, I made a pretty quick beeline. I mean, I talked to a couple of people when I came down, but I would like my parents and a couple of my buddies that came, but I was like, I just wanted to go upstairs, cause I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I was definitely down in the dumps just cause I had such high hopes for that. But I'm sure I'll get another opportunity to compete on there and hopefully walk away with a win one of these times.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fun. It was a great event.
They did a good job putting that thing on.
Yeah. Adam, it's fun. Adam does a great job.
Yeah.
They're, and then, Nick also, you know, he has opponent changed like four times. He ended up going against this really tough, like 20-year-old blue belt who's been, you know, kind of wreaking havoc on us. The guy probably should be a purple belt by now, but you know, he had a really good match. I think he ended up getting put in a Kimura like with like 30 seconds left in the match. It's a bummer, but and then our buddy Colin, that was awesome watching him win. That he submitted his guy.
He dominated that guy.
He did. He beat him up pretty good. It's awesome. And Colin's one of my main training partners and one of my good friends and you know, former guest on the show. Awesome to see him win. And then yeah, there's a bunch of other good matches. Watching Sean Woods, the black belt out of Columbia, and he's one of my coach's good friends, and he hit that flying triangle, which was sweet. What else? Well, Nick Matea's match was pretty good.
That fucking guy just scooting around on his ass. I mean, he stuck to his plan. It was boring, but he won. Yeah,
you know, Nick just really couldn't get past his guard. I mean, I think he got around to like a north-south position like once or twice, but you know, he wasn't able to really secure anything. And you know, the other guy got in on his legs a couple times, and that really what kind of won the match for him. You know, it's definitely not the most entertaining way to win, but it's a way to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very strategic. It was cool seeing my brother-in-law there. You know, he came to watch me, and you know, he's never really seen jiu-jitsu live, and he's just like kind of a big sports guy, and you could just tell he was like really getting into the strategy behind it. And you know, I gave him a ride home, and just talking to him about it was just interesting seeing someone's perspective of like who has no experience with it whatsoever, and just kind of like but like could totally tell like what was going on and like totally following and asking me questions the whole time we're there. It was really cool. I had a blast. It was an awesome event. So
yeah, Melissa and Dalton came They like opened their eyes to all of it. And they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. And they had a blast. They loved it. So
it's so cool. Yeah. No, yeah. Sitting with Melissa and Dalton the whole time. They're cracking me up. They're funny, man. It was a good night. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the next one. And yeah, it was good. So, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, man, I can't win them all. It happens. Yeah. And you know, that, like you said, that was, I had to go and ask him. I'm like, because where I was at, I felt like I was at a pretty good angle to see. And then I walked back into the box and was at, I'm like, did you guys see what happened? Like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, it was just a very, very strange submission.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, you know, talking to my coach about it on Monday, I went in there and went to class and then hung out with my coach at open mat and talked a lot about it. And, you know, it definitely made me feel better. But he's like, man, nobody does that stuff. And it's like, it's hard to prepare for something like that when nobody does that, because it's really unconventional. So, but yeah, I think I'm actually going to make a trip down to Festus this Sunday and get some rounds in with that guy just to see how, you know, just to train with him again and to like make me, I just want to train with him again. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a great event. So I'm looking forward to the next one. And, you know, he usually does about two of those a year. So when he told me, he's like, man, anytime you want to compete, let me know. So. I'm sure I'll hopefully get on another one.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we talking about today, Pat?
Oh, we got a couple different things, huh? St. Louis just recently held the Stay at Dad or Home Dad Con or Stay at Home Dad event for guys that are stay at home dads across the country.
Yeah.
So chat about that. Talk about our journey with testosterone so far. We're each like a month in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, talk about Chris Williamson's newsletter.
Yeah,
that he brought up.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, so this, you know, I can pull up the article or the thing here. Do you have the article pulled up? I can find it.
Yeah, I've got one of them. Let's see. Stay-at-home dads flock to St. Louis for Home Dad Con. According to the Pew Research Center, almost one in five stay-at-home parents are dads in the U.S., and now some of those dads have gathered in St. Louis for Home Dad Con. The National At-Home Dad Network is hosting their annual convention for dads at the Drury downtown. The network started as a trio of home dads from Washington, D.C. that created the first and only nonprofit organization for at-home dads in 2006. The organization began connecting at-home dads and providing local playgroups for their kids. Yeah. So, I mean,
no hate to anybody out there that's a stay-at-home dad, Mitt, but no, man, I just know that I don't think that's something that you and I would, I know I couldn't do it.
I couldn't.
I just don't think that I'm set out for that. I would just not feel I don't want to say I wouldn't feel fulfilled, but I wouldn't feel like I enjoy being like the provider and the, right. and the, you know, I feel like it would take something away from me. I feel like I'd be leaving potential. Like I'm like leaving potential on the table
right.
for like what I'm capable of.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not for everybody and kudos to those guys for being able to do that. I mean, there's different strategies and ways to live your life and be a dad and provide for your family. They're doing it by staying at home and taking care of the kids. You know, my thinking is like, well, you know, how long is that going to last? You know, how long before those kids are grown and they don't really need you to stay at home and take care of them or things like that. Like, what are you going to do then? And for me, I have to be active. I mean, all the shit that I do, I mean, I have to stay active and I just don't think, I don't know how active or how like in my mind, if I was really providing for the family the way that I would, should be providing for my family. I'm not saying that these guys aren't like, that's great for them. It's incredible that they've got a whole thing around it.
I had no idea that there was such a thing.
Me either. But for me personally, I wouldn't be able to, I mean, I love my kids and I love spending time with them and being at home with them and all of that stuff. But at the same time, like, you know, helping people buy homes and then like coaching kids in baseball and then doing all of my extracurricular activities and stuff, like that's what makes me who I am. And I just don't know, like, that would be going against who I am to do that. So it's just not in it for me, but you know, I know that there's people out there and guys out there and dads out there that do it, obviously. So, I mean, it's good for them for being able to help to live that lifestyle and be able to feel accepted in a group of people. I know that it's probably, you know, in society, it's not looked at in a way like, oh, men have to provide for their family, men have to work. I mean, it's not necessarily true. I mean, like I said, they could be. I mean,
yeah, it's not necessarily true, but it also, like, I don't know, it just seems like that's the standard father role, is to be the provider, and it's the way things have kind of always right. been, you know. I mean, men were the hunter gatherers, the hunters went off to kill the animal and bring that home and provide, and then the women, you know, stayed home with their children, you know. And obviously there's, you know, things have changed now, it's not necessarily that way, but you know, and I start wondering, like, okay, what's life like at home with right. those guys, what's their relationship life like with their wives? And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure some of them are great, but I bet some of them, like, do they feel emasculated?
Right.
I don't know. Cause I know I certainly would.
Right.
And maybe they don't, I don't know. Maybe that's just an insecurity that I have in myself, but I would feel very like, I feel like I wouldn't feel like I'm doing enough.
Right.
Or I'd be kind of, you know, emasculated, I guess. I don't know if that's a better word for
right.
it than
like
that.
Living up to your potential. Like, I feel like we all have a potential to do, you know, for things that we do. And your potential is, you know, working and providing for your family that way. That's how I am. I mean, especially being, I definitely couldn't do it now. No. Being a single dad, yeah. There's no fucking way.
Right. What are you just going to say? Home? Yeah.
Unless I pay my bills.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm moving in, Melissa.
Yeah.
Melissa and
I live in your basement. Yeah. Yeah, got my ex-husband living in the basement.
Yeah, he's a stay-at-home ex-husband dad. No, but that's the thing, is like, with how things change so frequently, and you know, like, my concern would just be like, okay, if obviously, you know, what happens if we get divorced? I'm gonna be fucked as a stay-at-home dad. Like, how am I gonna provide? Like, I don't know. Especially you know, I know, like, here in St. Louis and St. Louis County, going through the divorce, like, the courts are always going to favor the woman. And
now I wonder if that's the opposite, if the woman's the breadwinner, like, how does that go? You know, like, how, like, if one of these stay at home dads, say the wife's bringing in all the money, and dad, you know, like, I'm curious how the court would see that.
Right.
I have no idea, but like, yeah.
Well, that too, but then you got to think, like, hear all these things, like, what women find attractive. And
yeah, you know, that's another thing.
You know, it's like, I mean, I'm a stay at home dad. Like, okay, well, why aren't you working? You know, like, why aren't you, you know? So, I mean, I just don't see how like what society tells us and what, you know, really just having dated what women find attractive, you know,
I've been out of that for a while. So yeah. Fill me in.
Dating sucks. But no, it's, yeah, I mean, going through that, you know, you always find out like one of the things that I've always like has been told is like my work ethic and how hard I work and my dedication to my job and stuff like that. Like, and being able to like that security and support to bring for my family. Like that's something that people have always told me has been attractive. Like women have always told me like that's attractive. And you know,
what women, I don't think there's any women out there that wouldn't think that that's attractive. That, like the man being a driven, like hyper, like striving for success. Like, I feel like that's, right. That's what all I would imagine most women find attractive.
Yeah. You would think, maybe not. And as a guy, like for myself, like when I'm looking for a partner, I don't want a stay-at-home mom. You know, I want somebody that can work or that wants to work and wants to do those things, that has that passion. I mean, that drive, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, for me personally, for me to be attractive to a woman, they got to be working and successful and passionate about what they're doing. And, I don't want to stay at home.
You want somebody that has like passion and has drive for and wants to constantly like be improving whatever they're doing. You know, I mean, like Gina, like wanting to, she's always looking for ways to, you know, be a better teacher and stuff like that. Like, I mean, she's always like looking up things and reading articles and trying to figure out what are better ways. There's this new study that has come out. You know, she's a special ed teacher, so that stuff changes all the time. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm also that's the thing too, is like, I don't want to have to depend on anybody.
Yeah, it's another thing. Yeah.
You know, and I feel like if I would be a stay-at-home dad, I'm depending on my wife to make money. I don't like, no, I grew up, I was raised to be an independent person and provide and work for myself, like work hard for myself. And I just wasn't, one, how I was raised, and two, I just wouldn't want to have to depend on anyone else for me to be able to live a life or live my life.
Yeah.
So
just give me an allowance.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, hey, can I go buy this? No, fuck that. I want to buy it. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And it just, I don't know.
I'd have a hard time with it.
I would too. But hey, I mean.
You might get some hate for this, but that's
right.
It is what it is.
I mean, that's who we are. Yeah. Kudos to those guys for, you know, that's who they are. That's what they want. And I can't hate on them for that. Like, that's what their passion was. That's what their passion's always been. And if that's the case, good for you guys. That's just not who I am. It's not where I would want to be. That's not what I would want to do my life. I just, you know, like I said, I love my kids and I love spending time with my kids and I also love like teaching my kids like work ethic and showing them all these things while still as a single dad, maintaining that, mm-hmm. like maintaining a house, you know, putting your dishes away, doing your laundry, folding laundry, putting clothes away, cleaning the house. Like, I still have to do that shit. Like, right. Now I do it and work, you know, it's a lot. It is. And kudos, like any single parent out there, like hats off to you, like, you know, having to do everything. That's not easy. Like and this is, you know, and this was something that I took for granted and, you know, Melissa did a great job of it. And, you know, I would help out when I could with the stuff, but, you know, she's very, type A, which we'll get into here in a little bit, but like, yeah, she had her specific ways of doing things and didn't necessarily like the way that I did things. So I would do something. She's like, just get out of here. I'll do it myself. It just got to the point where I'm like, well, why would I waste my time doing it if you're just going to redo it? And
she doesn't like the way I fold the clothes.
Oh, yeah. Folding clothes. So I was like, just show me how you like it. And I feel like I'm smart enough to pick up and learn how to do these things. Yeah. And that's what's funny is, like, I mean, she showed me how she liked the clothes folded, and I still fold my clothes that way. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, the way the towels need to be folded. I'm like, damn, okay. No, it's just not fold over, fold and lay it flat. And like, it actually looks good in the closet, like folding sheets and washing dishes. Who knew that there was a proper way to run the vacuum? You got to go with the grain, not against the grain. Like, there's all sorts of like shit that I didn't know. I'm like,
yeah, no one ever taught me that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't, no one taught me that. And thanks for teaching me that. I still do that shit to this day. So shout out. Hey, thanks, Melissa.
Yeah. Thanks, Gina.
Sorry I didn't do it when we were married, hey, I'm doing a hell of a job of it now.
Yeah, I figured it out now.
Got it done. But no, yeah, I mean, no hate on those guys. It is what it is. Like, that's their life. That's what they want. And I, like I said, I can't hate on anybody or say anything negative about them. I just, me personally, is not how I would do it. So
either. All right. Our next, you know, the other thing I think we wanted to just kind of bring up. Yeah. We've been, Pat and I think we've talked about it briefly on other episodes, but we haven't really like gone into depth on it, but, we both got on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, pretty much the same time. You know, it kind of all sparked from having Rocky on, with New Age Health and Wellness and, you know, kind of really got us looking into, you know, our test results or, you know, we got our blood drawn and, you know, they run tests on it and see where you're, I mean, what I loved about it there is they really went over your entire panel, like the whole blood panel, you know, cause I looked into getting TRT a couple years ago and I got, you know, I still had low testosterone. This was probably 3 years ago that I looked into it and it was low and, but that other place I went, man, I mean, I just felt like I was so rushed through everything. And then they just kind of like, all right, well, you want the shot? Cool. And I was like, I guess. Yeah. All right. And if that's what you guys think I need, I guess, you know, I was just kind of taking their word for it. And whereas at New Age, it felt way more like they went way more into depth on what every line on that freaking, you know, blood panel said.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah.
And so what meant.
Yes. Like what each thing meant. And, I mean, thankfully that my stuff looked pretty good. Other than my testosterone, like all my other vitamins, all the other, I mean, it doesn't seem like there was really no other recommendations that they had for me. So other than testosterone, if it was something I felt.
I'm pre-diabetic.
You are?
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I'm not surprised. My mom is pre-diabetic.
What exactly does that mean? I mean, I know what diabetes is, but like, what is pre-diabetic?
Basically, if we were to continue on the track that we were on and didn't make changes, then we would become a diabetic.
Okay,
you know, at least that's my understanding of it. So, you're in that stage where you can make changes and get out of it. It's your insulin levels are at a level where you could go either way. Like, it could get worse, and you could be a diabetic, or you can improve it and be fine. And my mom did it, and it's something that's popped up on the last few tests, but it seems like it's been getting better than what it was. So it's just something I got to be a little more cognizant of, you know, watching what I'm consuming, which is something that I've been doing anyway. So, you know, like I said, I was happy because, you know, I started this journey towards the end of last year, just having talked to people about that were on it, and then them telling me like the symptoms that they had prior to them starting and how it fixed. I'm like, man, I'm feeling all of those things, like, you know, lack of energy, you know, and I started thinking back, like, this is shit that's been going on for a long time. And so, you know, lack of energy, brain fog, depression. I'm gonna be honest. I mean, there's been bouts over the last handful of years where I experienced depression. Sure. And
going, you know, through a big divorce, well, right, and everything's gonna, yeah,
things like imagine that, like, yeah. And so obviously stuff like that's depressing shit, but, you know, this is supposed to help improve that. It is supposed to help improve the way your body's chemicals and everything align and stuff like that, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Obviously sex drive and all of that is supposed to increase with all this. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that come along with it that I'm really excited about. But the most important for me is, and body fat, you know.
Yeah.
So like I've always carried more body fat than normal. And I remember going back to pro ball when I first started getting my body fat checked, and, you know, they put me on these things and I would be working out hard and I'd be losing weight, but like my body fat never really got below a certain point. And then they're like, oh, you got a thyroid problem. But then they would test my thyroid and my thyroid was perfect. same thing like recently. Thyroid was fine. And it was, yeah, just, I mean, but in pro ball, they're not going to test for testosterone.
You can't get on it, right?
No, that'd be illegal. That'd be a banned substance. And obviously, they're not going to want that happening. So they just never even looked at it.
Yeah, it's just crazy that this is, I mean, I pulled up this article here that I kind of wanted to just go through while we were on the topic, just because it's so interesting that why, I mean, because this is obviously becoming a pretty common thing. I mean, how many guys do we know that are on it?
A lot.
I can think of like 20 off the top of my head. And, you know, I pulled up this article here from Rutgers Health. A new study has found a sustainable drop in men's testosterone levels since the 80s, but reasons for the decline remain unclear. This trend also does not appear to be related to age. Average levels of male testosterone have dropped 1% per year since the 1980s. This means, for example, a 65-year-old man in 2002 would have testosterone levels 15% lower than those of a 65-year-old in 1987. This means a greater proportion of men in 2002 would have had below normal testosterone levels than in 1987.
Oh, but that those numbers are even higher now.
Yeah,
you know, you've shared it. I've seen it shared. The Joe Rogan episode with the Means, brother and sister, and what they talked about, and then having Rocky on here talking about all the plastics.
It's got to be fucking us up.
Yeah, has to be.
There's no way. The increase in vaccines
and everything that we have to take as little kids, like,
and all the shit in our food. I mean, all the, not even just the plastics, it's all the chemicals, all the dyes, all the bullshit. Like, I mean, ever since I've listened to that episode twice, and it was annoying her the other day. We were walking around Target and I just kept like, before we put anything in the cart, I was like looking at the ingredients. It's like, oh no, like maybe not this one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously it's impossible to avoid everything, but like there's two things sit next to each other and they're both whatever they are. And I look at this one and it's got pretty much just looking at the ingredients and like, well, this one's got a paragraph about this long and this one's got a paragraph about this long. So I'm going to go with the one with the shorter paragraph.
Right.
You know, like that's a really simple, dumbed down way to do it. But I mean, that's, you know, when I flip over the nutrition label and I see all these things that I can't even pronounce,
mm-hmm.
like, well, maybe that shouldn't be going in my body.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. Cause like this thing said, they can't pinpoint a reason, you know, why men's testosterone levels are dropping, but I mean, they clearly are. And it's a big issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and I also had this thing pulled up here just for, you know, some of the, some effects of testosterones. And also I wanted to pull up some of the risks too, because, you know, I mean,
there are
risks associated with it for sure.
Infertility.
And that was one of the reasons why I didn't get on it several years ago. Cause me and Gina were still trying to get pregnant at the time. And, you know, I'm way better about it now, but I used to really just kind of be bad about talking to Gina about making, you know, some large decisions. Like I'd be lying to you if I told her I've agreed to buy pieces of real estate without consulting her. she always makes this, she always tells a story. Well, she's telling her friends work. Well, Zach just bought a fucking house, you know? so yeah, that's why
teachers cuss.
Yeah. Oh, they cuss. But yeah, that's why I didn't get on it several years ago. And I mean, we haven't exactly decided if we're done having kids or not, but, you know, I'm taking all the other supplements, along with it to hopefully keep my sperm levels high. But you know, some of the effects here of testosterone, muscle strength and muscle mass, facial and body hair, sex drive, sperm production, bone density, fat distribution, red blood cell production, exercise tolerance and mood. You know, men with low testosterone may experience loss of sex drive, erection problems, sleep problems, difficulty with exercise, weakened bones, depressed mood, less energy or motivation. But some of the side effects of this therapy some of the symptoms are an enlarged prostate, such as trouble urinating, blisters, itching, or redness of the skin if using the patch or the gel, which you and I are not doing that.
Give me that needle.
Yeah, baby. Stick it right in there.
Yep.
Shooting myself in the ass twice a week.
Yes, sir.
reduced or absent sperm production, sleep apnea, acne. Yeah, and those are the side effects.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so far so good. I mean, yeah, we're both about a month in, and I mean, I feel like I've noticed a little bit of like cognitive performance has been enhanced for sure. I haven't really noticed. There's been instances when I was getting ready for this match where I was like feeling like, I don't know if I was just having a really good day or what, but I was feeling really good in the gym, really pumped up, really like just having good days. And I don't know if that was the testosterone or me just having a good day training. It's hard for me to know, cause I haven't been lifting for like, I haven't been paying it. Like whenever I go lift weights, I have not been like really paying attention to like numbers, like as far as like, I can, you know, squat this much more or whatever. Like I haven't really been paying attention to that, but I'm getting back into CrossFit. You know, I'm going there this afternoon, which I'm excited about. But what else is different? I've been sleeping well, but I mean, I never have problems sleeping. I feel like I've been in a better mood, but that might be part of it too. I don't know if things are just going well right now, or it's hard to like exactly pinpoint it, because it's hard to,
yeah,
not exactly like a good control, you know?
Right.
So what have you noticed so far?
Yeah. I mean, definitely I have brain fog, like usually around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm crashing. Haven't really felt that. Like you said, focus and the brain fog is gone. For the most part, energy levels, you know, that those are getting better. Obviously, you know, it's only been a month and they say it could take up to 3 before you really feel it. Yeah. And, you know, I just remember, I mean, I was really low. So like,
yeah, you were a little lower than me.
Yeah. That first, I was very, very low. But that first shot was like, I felt like I drank 10 cups of coffee without the jitters. It was great. Like,
had me like worried, cause I was like, man, I didn't feel that. I was like,
oh, fuck yeah. Let's do this.
I asked Rocky, I was like, is that normal? He's like, it's not normal, but it's not uncommon. It happens to some people. He said maybe like 10% of people feel that.
Yeah.
Like after that first shot. And I don't think I felt that, but, I was asking him, cause I think I was texting him that day, and,
yeah, I text him. I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. I mean, it's tapered down since then just because it's been
kind of a normal thing.
It's normal now. But no, I mean, like I said, I feel great. Energy levels are good. Again, I don't, strength wise, muscle building, I don't know, because it's only been a month. You know, like, I'm not really going to see that yet. But I mean, I know that, like, so for example, we're doing deadlifts right now. And part of the strength training that we're doing through the gym is deadlifting. And I hadn't really deadlifted in a long time. It was the first time I deadlifted in probably over a year was, you know, like 4 weeks ago at the gym. And then it was like their one rep max. And it was like,
hell of a day to come in there for.
Right. But I did the 405 and was happy about it. I was like, fuck, man, good to get back on that. And now we're tailing it back. So like last week we did 6 sets of 6 and I did that at 295. And then yesterday we did 5x5s and I did that at 305. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. Like, and you know, I don't know if that's the testosterone or not, but I'm like, I wasn't dead. I mean, I was fucking dead last week, because it had been a few weeks since I did the one rep maxes. But yeah, I was doing 6 reps of 6. That sucked. And then yesterday, like I feel fine today. Like I feel like I was pushing it pretty hard. So, you know, maybe the recovery and all that is helping there. So yeah, I mean, energy wise, I think this is the biggest one. Focus wise, brain clear. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like mood wise, I've been in a pretty solid mood, good mood for a while now. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. Sleeping, that's another thing. I've always been like a night owl. I'll be up to like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning and then turn around, wake up at 6 and be fine. But now I'm crashing, like I'm falling asleep at like 11, which is nice. Getting extra sleep in. So,
sex drive definitely increased for me, for sure.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I think I was having a little bit of issue. Yeah, but definitely was having issues with, for sure. So, I mean, I think that's one thing I'm feeling things are good. But yeah, so it's been good. So yeah, we'll keep you guys, you know, informed on kind of how things are going for us. So that's been digging it. So far so good with the old juicy juice.
Yeah, I'm excited to go pick up my next month's worth.
Tomorrow. Just picked ours
get up. Mine tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Let's get into this. This Chris Williamson 3 Minute Monday. So he puts out a little newsletter every week that I always read, and I think it's, you know, this one, some good stuff on here usually. So you know, this first little part was you know, talking about the differences between, you know, type A people and type B people. And you know, for those of you who don't know what those are, here I just pulled up another little article just to kind of just describe it. Whereas the type A person are usually a little bit more competitive, highly organized, ambitious, impatient, highly aware of time management, or aggressive, or labeled as type A, while type B are labeled more relaxed, receptive, less neurotic, and frantic personalities. So, you know, it's weird because I don't know where I put myself, because I feel like there's some things I am very like type A about, and there's other things I'm very type B about. But you know, Chris kind of gets into this: insecure overachievers need to learn how to chill out and relax, but lazy people, and basically what he's saying, like, you know, he thinks that, you know, type A people have a type B problem, and type B people have a type A problem. You know, meaning that insecure overachievers need to learn how to chill out and relax, and lazy people need to learn how to work harder and be disciplined. You know, so, I mean, here's the thing. You may have already realized that type A people with a type B problem get very little sympathy, because a miserable but outwardly successful person always appears to be in a much more preferential position than being content, being lazy, but on the verge of bankruptcy one. Problems of opportunity will always get less sympathy than ones of scarcity. One feels like a choice, the other one feels like a limitation. One is I don't know that word. One is bourgeois luxury, and the other one is systematic imposition. I need someone to teach me how to be disciplined and work harder. Feels less noble, upward aiming, and charitable. I need someone to teach me how to switch off and relax. Feels dopaminergic, addicted, and transactional. Every underdog movie has a training montage of someone sorting out their life by working harder. None included a guy learning how to log out of Slack at 6 p.m. and finally enjoy a beach holiday. So, yeah, I mean, I personally, like, I feel like I'm very, I mean, I feel like I like my natural inclination is to be a type B person, but like I force myself to do type A activities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I see it. Like, or at least I'm very type A about things that I'm really passionate about, like real estate, like jiu-jitsu, like working out. Like, I would say that those are things that I'm very like driven toward and very organized about. But then when you get into other aspects of my life, I definitely am. I'm a pretty laid back guy.
Yeah, so. I would agree. Yeah, no, when I'm passionate about something and I want pushing myself for something, like I'm very focused on that thing. And I don't think I'm like you said, like you never feel like it's enough. And so, yeah, so I'm constantly pushing because I don't think I'm good enough. That can be a downfall. I can understand how that might be a downfall for some, but I mean, if you're always striving to be best and you're never feeling satisfied, it's always going to keep you hungry for wanting more. So I don't know. I that's how I've always lived my life when it comes to the things that I'm passionate about. And then obviously things that I'm not passionate about, I'm not interested in. So I'm just going to be kind of like, you know what, just kind of laid back and relaxed with it. So, but no. I think there needs to be a good balance. You need to have a good balance.
You need to have a little bit of both, I think. And, you know, being too type A would be, you know, I mean, because I've definitely felt that where the part where you're like, you know, where he says, you know, you need to log out of whatever and go enjoy the vacation. Like, I've felt that. Ask any one of my family members in the last several years. It always seems like my vacations are turned into me fucking being on the phone.
Just working from a better place.
Working from a better place. Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, I wish I didn't have to, but in our industry, it's like, it's so, things are so time sensitive that you have to respond to things right away. Otherwise, you know, deals can be lost and things can fall apart pretty quickly.
Right. And no matter how many people you have on your team, there's always, you're still going to have to, you're like, I'm still the point of contact. People are still going to reach out to me. Can my assistants handle a lot of stuff? Absolutely. But there's still going to be things that pop up that I need to do. Plus, when you refer people to them, you're referring them to me.
To you, yeah.
Not my team. You know, they want them talking to me and getting my expertise, not talking to my assistants, even though they're just as qualified. It's just, that's what my role is. That's why I'm here. So
that's where I'm running into that right now, where I'm in my real estate coach. He's been talking to me about, you know, maybe you should, busy enough and you've got a lot of things going, maybe you should hire an assistant or hire a, you know, someone to come and, you know, take some stuff off your plate, like a buyer's agent or something. But, you know, here's the thing is I feel like a lot of my value add or my, why I have so much referral business is because I create.
Because of you.
Yeah. Cause I create such great relationships with people like through the buying process,
right.
You know, when we're going out and looking at 10, 15 homes, like, and I'm hanging out with you for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon and we're cracking jokes and we're hanging out and I, you know, and we become friends through this transaction. I feel like that's where my, and if I wasn't a part of that and I was removed from that, I feel like that would really hurt my business. And that's like the part that I'm really struggling with right now. Even though now I am, this year I've been way more listing heavy as far than buyer heavy, but I still like
what
working.
The fuck?
Sorry. I know. I've been, I send you all the ones I get. it's been a you know, struggle. You know, we talk about it almost every week for like the last 3 weeks about it. And I just still really haven't made any moves toward it. Cause it's like, first of all, it's like, who do I don't even know how to go about hiring someone like that. And then just the training aspect of it too is something that just kind of stresses me out. Cause I'm so like, oh, okay, I'll just do it myself kind
right.
of guy, you know? And I need to just, because I know if I put the time in.
Well, like
I
said, like it goes back to what Angela was talking about. Like it's hard. He said that's been the hardest thing that he's had to deal with is the hiring process. He's like, yeah, I've got the systems in place, but hiring the right person and then training them, that is so much work.
Yeah. And you know, basically training them to replace you. Like,
yeah.
The hard person to replace in my business.
Yeah.
You know? Because no one's going to care about my people as much as I do.
Right.
And,
I mean, that's for me, like, that's my thing is like with refinances. So for me, like, hey, I was the upfront main character. Like, they're all reaching out to me, but like behind the scenes stuff, like running numbers, working up numbers, like Mitch can handle that. And
yeah.
So that's what I do. I mean, refinance I get, and now working on training Erica to where she can take over some of that. Like, I mean, it's just, it helps free up the things that I want to be able to do. I don't want to do refinances. I don't have a problem with them. I can do them, but my time is better spent doing other things. And especially now, and you're going to see this as rates continue to drop, you know, loan officers are going to neglect their referral partners. They're going to focus on that low hanging fruit that they can just pluck from past clients because they've already got those relationships built with those past clients. So they're going to go after those and kind of neglect their agents. And I'm going to tell loan officers, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't neglect your agents because I'm going to come in. I'm going to actually,
I'm
going to take them. I'm going to meet up with them and develop a relationship and I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is like people forget about that and they focus on that low hanging fruit, but develop a team that allows you to still catch that low hanging fruit while you can still grow your business. So, but now, I mean, I'm super lucky with the assistants that I have and the team that we have and, you know, it's taken a long time to get them. But yeah, for you, I don't envy that part of that process for you.
You know, and I'm not all alone. I do have people that help me. I've got Shelly, my transaction coordinator, who's been with me since day one, pretty much. And I don't know what I'd do without her because she saves my ass regularly and like helps me out with so much stuff.
Right.
I couldn't do the volume of business I do without her. That's for sure. No way, you know, and I'd advise anybody that's in any real estate salesperson, if, you know, find yourself a good TC, good transaction coordinator, because man, I've had that since day one, and I think that has, it's taken so much off my plate to do the items that don't really make me the money.
Right.
You know, me making them, you know, what makes me money is having conversations with people, talking with people interested in buying and selling and creating those relationships. So that's really how I make my money. I mean, doing, you know, she handles a lot of the back end stuff, crawling, you know, all a lot of the paperwork, a lot of the, you know, making sure that all the deadlines are met, making sure, you know, usually always on the back end. Whereas like once we're under contract, that's when she hops in. But, you know, so that's a piece of advice I'd give to any real estate agent out there, whether you're new or maybe you've been in the business for a while and you're just trying to save that money. But it just gives you time to focus on other things. And just, it relieves so much stress from my life, because I know I'd be so much more stressed out if I didn't have her to be able to, you know, because I call her, like I literally texted her before this, like, hey, I'm walking into a meeting. Can you send them an amendment to change this close date or whatever it was? And, you know, she always does that kind of stuff. So it's super helpful.
Yeah. It's nice to have, but yeah, I mean, if you can find somebody that you trust and that you know is going to work hard and put that work in, and even if it's just like, you know what, I'll show the first five homes, and then after that, hey, here's my showing specialist. He's gonna step in and show you a few more homes.
Yeah, because I mean, I have a couple agents that I'll use to, like, if it's times that I can't, I just have them fill in, but it's not really, I just don't know how I'd do it. Like, do I, because all those people, I pay that agent per showing. You know, I pay them for their time for going out to show the property. Like, I don't know what it would look like having, you know, do I have a hourly position where they're working X amount of hours per week? But like, what if there's some weeks where I don't have as much going on, and then they're not, you know, like then they're just kind of sitting around doing nothing, or how does that, that's just kind of something I need to figure out. But
structure in a way like, hey, Gil, like, hey, you show them a house and they decide they want to write on it, then
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to.
And you split the commissions in some sort of way, like, hey, this is my lead, I'm giving it to you, I'm gonna give you 25% of the commission.
Yeah.
If you find them or show them the house that they want to ride on, I'll get everything written up and all that stuff, but I'll give you 25% because we're out running them around.
So I do something like that.
Something similar.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all works on that end, but. Could be.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, I just want to talk to a couple. I really need to just like sit down with some other agents that have like teams and just kind of pick their brain, kind of figure out. I just want to kind of see how everybody does it and see which ones I like the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about all we got for today, man.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I mean, I'm just chilling.
Just chilling. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the episode today. If you haven't, hit that like button down below. Click that subscribe button if you're not subscribed already, and we will see you next time.